This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 13th of December, 1952. The title of this lecture is Development of Scientology, Characteristics of a Living Science. This lecture is 63 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Thank you. This is December the 13th, first hour of the evening lecture. Now, on this matter of new little gimmicks and so forth, you can expect them to occur every once in a while. And sometimes they occur early and sometimes they occur late. I mean, you've had the pre-clear a week ago that could have used it. He's dead now. But you can expect from here on, undoubtedly, a little bit of refinement here and a little bit of codification there. Basic theory of the information on which you're working, however, is of one group of data, and it isn't likely to do much varying. It is highly likely that you will get codifications of mock-ups, however. You will get something that says this mock-up is better than that mock-up, or this system of mock-ups apply to that, or something of the sort. That's totally very possible. I don't want you to get upset and say all this information now is invalid simply because you see something that a codification of assessment is now done this way. Or, although it was stated that this was the limit of Q, it is now found that this following modification can take place. Because a live science is not a static science. A live science grows. In 1894, an old guy that was doing a lot of work on this, fellow named, not on this, he was just doing work, Freud, announced his libido theory. The electronic data, which has now led to all kinds of electronic equipment, the formulas that have led to modern electronics, the A-bomb, whether or not these are an advantage, they do demonstrate in advance, were in existence in 1894. Coincidentally, in 1894, then, was the science of electronics and its basic theory, and, in the field of the mind, the libido theory. In 1952, in that field, just taking that as a field of development, we have the atom bomb and we have the libido theory. No advance. That is not healthy. Now, you've watched the sudden fusion of Western mathematical thinking, organization, logic, and electronics suddenly fuse with, not Sigmund Freud or the Greek philosopher, fuse with the data which was left in India about 8,200 years ago and which lay dormant and which was figured out this way and confused that way and was relatively unanalyzed. It was from that body of data that Christianity came. It was from that body of data that many other things occurred. But it was a tremendously valuable mass of material. All right. It lay there, unevaluated, and, of course, was a field of tremendous richness from a standpoint not of investigation of it. More men have gone mad per square inch trying to investigate it than any other thing I know. I'm sitting there tonight trying to pretend that this had been a very brave voyage of adventure because it had been so dangerous and there's so many men fall on their faces doing this. As a matter of fact, it has not been a very dangerous voyage, But the point is that an awful lot of men have fallen on their faces in the last century trying to hit this track. Amongst them were Nietzsche, and with him the German nation. Amongst them were Schopenhauer. Amongst them were Aleister Crowley. They were all trying to hit this track, and they were overshooting, undershooting, round and round, because they were looking at it as it, and trying to analyze it as itself, and trying to apply to it its own peculiarities of logic and formulation. And it had no such evaluation. It needs a dichotomy to work something out. Two things must come together to work something out. So here was that big body of data, and all of a sudden we ran into it with electronic material, Western logic, plus the Western belief that it could be done and it wasn't complicated. I ran in ahead of the data this business that all things are basically simple. I had this background of other material, and then I completely neglected that other background of material except where it would cross accidentally once in a while. But I knew these two fields. I don't know anybody else in this century or the end of the last one who had these two backgrounds. Background in mysticism and occultism, metaphysics, theology, hocus pocus, voodoo, mumbo jumbo, magic, spiritualism, and so on, who took a rigorous course of Western orientation. You study civil engineering, and it is about the roughest discipline there is, simply because it says it's there, and it's there, and that you'll only solve it if you recognize that it's there, and so on. And that put one on the track of agreement and a lot of other things. So these two things crossed. This tremendous body of information in the Eastern Oriental sphere and this tremendous body of collected information in the Occidental, the Western world. And those two bodies of information had never been studied one to the other. I don't know why nobody from that area, which I have any knowledge whatsoever, in India or the studies thereof, ever thought it worth his while to step out of that field and try to study something else. And I don't know anybody in engineering who would do anything but get down and swear and spit and get very thoroughly upset at the slightest mention of the word mysticism. You go into Bell Labs now, and the toughest, terriblest curse that they can lay on anything is that has something to do with the spirit or mysticism. Sounds mystical to them and so forth. That is their ultimate for imprecision. Now, all of a sudden, these two bodies of knowledge went together with a dull crash. Monitored by something above that, then, it was possible to codify in terms of MEST the capabilities of theta. And that is the trick. How do you codify in terms of MEST a capability which really is only a small part MEST? And that's been quite a trick, putting it together and codifying it. Now that codification continues. Continues very definitely. Well, we're going forward at this moment with a very workable process. This process works. It works fast. If you were to suppose that you were in a static with regard to it completely, you would be making an error and be demonstrating an ignorance of a live science. A live science is one which can still change. It has not reached the end of the cycle of action. Now, one might say that one has gone on the line in curves, that there was a 40.0 to 0 and a 40.0 to 0 in this fashion. Why don't you guys that are coughing mock up some explosions?
You could say this.
Marty, somebody cough in your face? When did they cough in your face last? Come on. Well, mock up a doll out there coughing. Come on, mock him up. All right, mock him coughing real worse than that. Very much worse than that. All right, get him going into spasms, coughing. Now put him behind your back. Right behind your back?
Yeah.
All right, now have him do an epileptiform seizure. His heels crashing down on the floor, back arching as he coughs and wheezes. Got it?
Yeah.
Now take a big can of pepper.
Yeah.
Now sprinkle it on him so he'll cough harder. Now put him over to the right. Now put him over to the left.
Okay.
Now take all this huge amount of sneeze powder and put it on him. And just make him go into just fits. Now change him into a dog doing the same thing.
Okay.
Now change him into a cow and stop the coughing and start the cow chewing cud. Now put the cow behind your back and have the cow move gently in appreciation.
Yeah.
Now put her in your time span of last year.
Okay.
All right. Here on the line. Here on the line we have actually what could appear to be 40.0 to 0.0, 40.0 to 0.0, 40.0 to 0.0 as we come down the line. The reason I put these things up here is you could say that these are the echelons of something. And what you could do then is put up here .0, 20.0 underscored at 0.0 as a grand cycle, or this cycle, or this cycle, or this cycle. Here was Homo sapiens. Funny, we call that 4.0 to 0.0, and here we had Phaeton plus body. 40.0, Thetan is separate from body. And we have the separateness being the top of the scale. The Thetan has suddenly gained a lot of space, you see. And at the bottom of it, you've got a Thetan plus body. It's in pretty good shape. And that's Theta clear. Oh, we can call this here Theta clear at this 40.0 with a dotted line under it. And we have here this black 40.0. We have Homo sap as a 40.0 with a dotted line under it. And up here at this highest 40.0, I mean this now existing black 40.0 here with a whole series of crosses under it, we would have an operating Thetan. And up here at the top of the grand cycle, God knows how far up, how many 0.0 stages up above that one with the X's under the 40.0. We've got what? We've got cleared Theta clear. Theoretical absolute. A theoretical absolute sitting up there. Now, here are your bodies of knowledge as they moved forward. Dianetics, Book 1, Homo sapiens. Boy, does he agree with that. But if you used Book 1, you can pretty much maintain Homo sapiens. You're well within the field of a therapy for Homo sapiens. You start up the line, however, from Book 1, and we get into the never-never land of the early days of Scientology. Well, you got overt acts and motivators, and the second you start to run these things out, something else starts to happen, and the GE line suddenly opens up, and you start to run that a little bit more, and the theta line opens up, and you're just on a whole bunch of tracks, and you don't quite know where you're going or where you're going to wind up. Until all of a sudden, we get to standard operating procedure, issue one. It's now issue three. And what's that produce? That produces a theta clear. Now, if you were just studying this mid-ground, just to theta clear right now, if that's all you were studying, this could be a very short course, because we can make theta clears in an awful hurry. But you're not studying that. You're studying at least 40.0 of the upper scale or operating thetan. So your goals have advanced. Thus, when I give you this material, I'm demonstrating to you that the button-up is complete up to that middle 40.0 theta clear. Every time you get a higher echelon, though, these lower things become more easily done. But when you do them from the higher echelon, you get a higher goal. Here's cause and effect. Cause and effect. You cannot make a better Homo sapiens actually with any other process than Dianetics, the modern science of mental health, and science of survival. You use anything above that level, or we start operating on Homo sapiens with techniques above that level, we no longer get a Homo sapiens. We go into advanced procedure and axioms, and the fellow starts to fly apart. And he does. We get something different. He isn't acting the same way anymore. He isn't going on the same motivations. He isn't the same bag of tricks. Now, when we get up here to theta clear, we take theta clearing techniques and we apply them any place to Homo sapiens, and you're going straight on toward theta clear. Now, you could take these techniques down here at 40.0, Dianetics of Modern Science of Mental Health, Homo sapiens, and you could reevaluate those techniques. Go just reevaluate them and fix them all up and then use them. And if you expected still to get Homo sapiens, you'd be very much surprised. You wouldn't get Homo sapiens anymore. You'd keep getting a theta clear. Here's cause and effect at work. You postulate what kind of an effect you want to achieve. You have to take it from the level of cause that will produce that effect. I should tell you something then about processing as where you're not making a theta clear. You start using mock-ups and that sort of thing to any very vast degree, you're going to head toward making a theta clear. But you can use them without theta clearing somebody. You can get somebody who has a bad shoulder or something of the sort, and you can go on and give them a push forward. But if you were to run a low level of this middle 40.0 to 0.0 theta clear goal, somewhere in that area, you'd get something like brackets on responsibility and irresponsibility. And the second you start to run brackets on responsibility and irresponsibility, if you start very long, you keep at it very long, kaboom! The guy's going to be out of his head looking at himself. I'm sorry, but it just happens. Now, you say, we want this effect. We work toward this effect, and we have the ritual necessary to produce this effect. And the funny part of our ritual is, never make a mistake about this, by the way, there are guys running around the bush in loincloths in Colorado Springs and places like that who think they know something about this business. And all they ever studied is how you give somebody a super control operation. And they'll tell you anytime you postulate that a fact exists, why a certain number of people who believe it and somebody other get well. The guy read this in a Christian Science handbook or medical association or someplace. He didn't get this anyplace else. Because it doesn't happen to be even vaguely true when applied on this level. You get the ritual which works spontaneously without education in it. You've got natural law. That is really the definition of natural law. An engineer and a train do not have to be educated in gravity to start running like hell down a 10% grade on the railroad track. And you put any engine and any engineer on that 10% grade on a railroad track, and they will start running like the devil down the track. That's natural law. That's the natural law of gravity. All right? You get any pre-clear out here, you get anybody off the street, the guy that runs that fiend that runs that streetcar up and down, you get him in here, and you start working with what? You just start working with mock-ups, just plain mock-ups, this way and that way and the other way and so forth. And all of a sudden it goes bzzz, wham. You work on it too long, he'd be standing there looking at himself. You run responsibility and irresponsibility, and he'd be standing there looking at himself. I don't care if he's a streetcar conductor. It'll work. All right. That's natural law. Probably in the framework of engineering itself, there exists much better discovered laws than have so far been discovered. What I like about the guy is he runs down the track, see, and he gets down the track, and then he picks that streetcar up and he runs back up the street and runs it down the track again. Well, anyhow, there are probably better natural laws, and maybe we have some of them in this bulk of knowledge right here, so far as physics is concerned. There probably will get readier agreement with the universe, or with MEST, than we have so far found out through the science of physics. That doesn't matter. You take fulcrums and balances and horsepower and so forth in the framework of physics, and you find out that if any hill on Earth obeys the laws of physics, any ditch, any drop of water, and any preclear works on these bases. All right. Someday or other, somebody can take a look at physics for this and fool around with it. We've made a few gimme-gahoojits in physics that are quite interesting. They're upsetting things. They're very upsetting. They seem to be disobeying natural laws. You might say they're disobeying a grosser manifestation of the law. They're not disobeying a finer law. There's a law that undoes the bigger law every time. All right. Let's look this over then. And recognize that if you're going to insist on Homo sapiens being Homo sapiens, you better not use any of the techniques about which I've been talking. I mean, that's sad. But if you use the techniques about which I've been talking here, as such, know that they lead to that, not because you postulate it, but just because it happens that way. That's to help you postulate results which you want. To know that. Now, know this, too, that if you make a theta clear, it's cruelty not to permit this individual to go up here to an operating thetan. What's an operating thetan? An operating thetan is a guy who can handle mist without beams and travel without energy. And that's not too hard to achieve. We have those techniques. We talked about this sort of thing. So, right here, right now, on the discussion of standard operating procedure, we have to make a designation, a definition of standard operating procedure to do what? This standard operating procedure makes a theta clear to this theta clear 40.0. You see those cycles within a cycle there. Now, a theta clear is stable outside of his body even though the body is hurt, or he does not snap into a body just because that body is injured, no matter the suddenness of the injury. That is a theta clear. In other words, you have made a thetan trap-proof. You haven't made him an operating thetan yet. He's just trap-proof, that's all. He can't be trapped by a body. And he can still operate in conjunction with or in control of bodies. Now, an operating thetan and the techniques leading to an operating thetan have also been covered in this course. And that, you might say, is just more of the same type of processing above the level of stability. Your problem then, and focus your range on this, is not to make a 5 into a theta clear as the toughest problem there is, but your problem is making relatively, sometimes very unable and almost falteringly weak thetans strong enough and tough enough so that they can operate as a thetan and not as a body at all. Now, what's a thetan have to do? He has to be able to communicate. He has to be able to travel. He has to be able to handle mist. He's got to be able to communicate with other thetans, and he has to be able to communicate with bodies in order to be an operating thetan. I don't know how close you will hit that line. I know that as you look at that, I think very few of you just intend to be a thetan clear. I think very few of you would say, well, I'm just going as far as that theta clear. That's good enough for me. So I have never heard one say this yet. So you're going up to operating thetan. So remember, however, that it's just an application of more of. But this process, standard operating procedure, issue 3, is specially designed to make a theta clear. And you have attained that goal when you have reached up to the point where the person knows he is outside and does not return into the body if the body is injured, or would not snap into a body if the body became hurt. He's outside, he knows he's a thetan, not a body, and he doesn't suddenly snap in inexplicably. Now, that's just a little bit further and just a little bit more than you think. Because as your process to make a thetan exterior is fast, that 50% of the people, you might as well say 10 minutes, theta clear. Only it's not a theta clear. It's 10 minutes to thetan exterior. Now, just as we had a tone scale, for Homo sapiens, so do you have, in the lower reaches of this thing, so do you have a tone scale for the thetan. Now, I am very sorry that these tone scales have just Homo sapiens injected in here, but that's kind of the way it is. So we'll take over here, position A, down to position B. And down here at position B, we have minus 8.0. And here at position A, we have, doesn't matter, probably 20.0. And this range, which I will describe here with a zigzag track down to, is the range of thetan tone range necessary. The thetan tone range necessary to stabilize. Your thetan has to be jumped from the extreme low of minus 8.0, which is necessity to own and protect. He isn't himself. In order to be at all, he has to have a body B for him. So he's below tone scale. And this 0, 0, 0, as we notice here, is being a body. And And below this level, he is, anywhere on this level, he's less than the body. Anywhere. From 0.0 down to minus 8.0, he's less than a body. Not only does he not know he's there, he thinks all that's there is a body and that he has to own it and control it and protect it. And of all things, he goes on this horrible computation, the body needs me. This is something on the order, that table needs me. About as important as that. You just bring a lot of pre-clears and they'll say, oh yes, propitiate. The body needs me. And poor body, what would it ever do without me? Believe me, what would that tin can ever do without a spinach? Then the guy moves out one day and he says, this thing really doesn't have any real decent life in it at all except for me. That's right. The GE is so low order and so weak and so on as to practically not be there at all. And as a consequence, when the fellow moves out, the body ceases to have enough oomph to do any functioning on its own. It, too, has a dependency. It has become so dependent upon a thetan that it can't really function at all without one. GE is that bad off. So, get this set up here. From down here at B, this double zigzag line here is the range that you're going to have to put your pre-clear up. Somewhere in that bracket, and your variability on theta clear will be from 20.0 up to about 40.0 to stabilizing. But he won't begin to be stable at all. See, there are varying degrees of being stabilized. He won't be stable at all below 20.0 on this overall range. He just won't be stable at all. He'll snap in, he'll snap out, and you'll process him, and he'll be fine. Oh, yeah, can you stay out there now? Oh, yeah, just doing fine. I'm out here. I'm on the balcony or I'm on the roof and everything's going fine. You say, all right, now let's have another session tomorrow afternoon. You come around and you have this, look, where are you? I'm in my head. What you doing? Well, I don't know. I'm just in my head. Well, let's move out. I can't. And you say, oh, for God's sakes, what's gone wrong here? Well, what's gone wrong here? Several things. The guy fooled around. The guy jumped out while he was in the middle of a restaurant. The guy went across and all of a sudden decided to take a trip to the other side of the galaxy or some such thing, and he's gotten caught in an explosion. He's made up his mind that he won't get out until his wife gets out, and so on. Or he has a heck of a lot of postulates he has to hold on to, and for some reason or other, he's not going to get rid of any of these postulates. On and on and on and on and on. So you work. What do you know? It doesn't take quite so long to spring him this time, and you balance him up and get him a little bit more able to handle force. You understand the only thing that's snapping him back in is lack of force and fear of things which are forceful. And the guy might be just doing fine until he suddenly sees two automobiles hit in the pavement in front of him or something of that sort, and he looks at all that force and he says to himself, oh, no, 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 it's a force universe. Here I go in my head and I'm not going to come out. Not me. His concept of force is what's doing it to him. There isn't a single facsimile any place in his bank. There isn't anything in his bank, really, that will answer up to force other than just go by the boards. I mean, force, if he's got enough force, there's nothing in his bank can disturb him. Nothing can talk back to force because what that bank is composed of things he's mocked up out of energy. So if nothing is there except energy things, his ability to control energy, of course, controls all that. You say his pre-clear is in dispersals and he keeps getting blown out of his head and blown into his head again. Yes, you can work dispersals. You can get him mocked up dispersals. You can do all sorts of things. You're black in the face. But if any more direct principle of the utilization and use of force, rehabilitating his belief and his ability to create and handle force came forward, you would use that. That would be an improved technique. So don't say you're not warned if you get something that creates or raises a person's force faster. There are things that do that. So your task is to get a theta from minus 8.0 or minus 4.0 up to this middle range, 20.0. Not to a Homo sapiens. You already saw this Homo sapiens scale. I just call these cycles of action at different scales. This 40.0 I've got marked here is 4.0 to 2.0 to 0.0. You see that, don't you? But I'm trying to emphasize that looking at 40 to 0.0, I'm trying to emphasize it's a whole body of knowledge. I'm trying to emphasize right now that this is a whole body of knowledge up here between the second, theta clear 40.0 and 0.0. It's a whole body of knowledge. How do you get a theta out of the head of a Homo sapiens and keep him there? Keep him out. That's quite important, see? That's a whole body of knowledge right there. We've got another, which you already have and which we know a lot about right now, with Q1. See, we had 40.0 theta clear before we had Q1. Now that you've got Q1, you can get an operating theta down to this upper 40.0 here, to the 0.0 operating theta range. You're operating, doing different things. So, 40.0 theta clear, standard operating procedure. You've got to get him up there to where his force is good. I've been doing a little testing on this, minor, but it pointed up something I already knew. If he can handle his body with force, he never afterwards does anything but handle his body. Let's make a special condition out of this. He's trying to handle a body, isn't he? And his idea of himself has gotten very weak because the body has to pick up things and put them down for him. Isn't that right? All right. Let's make him be able to pick up what picks up things and puts them down for him. So we get standard operating procedure to theta clear. It says theta clearing. Let's supplement the whole thing all the way down the line, just as you find it there. Let's supplement it with a drill. Oh, and we can standardize the devil out of this. You won't see this thing change. I've been doing this now for months, by the way, with people. It's the routine I've told you about, which we will call body lifting. Good, simple term. We do standard operating procedure, and then as soon as possible, we merge right over into body lifting. You do body lifting very simply. You have him pick up a finger with energy and have him move it aside and put it down again and pick it up again. And then have him mock up a hand. No matter how big or how small, you do a mock-up of that exact activity and make it a much more powerful action that he can do. Then you pick up another limb. You pick up another finger. You pick up his whole hand now. He picks it up from outside, standing over the hand, not from inside the body. He's outside the body. The hand is sitting flat on a desk or some such thing as that. And he comes over the top of the hand, and by putting out anchor points and lines, or by putting out a tripod of energy and lengthening its steps, with a tractor beam on a finger, he lifts the finger. He does it with energy beams. You then have him mock up doing it, or you have it mocked up first if he can't conceive it. Have him do a mock up. Have him build a mock up, lift its finger and drop it. Build a mock-up, lift its finger and drop it a few times, vary the mock-up, shift the mock-up around a little bit, have him come back and pick up a little more hand. Then have him do a mock-up of lifting whole hands, and then have him lift his actual hand. Then have him do mock-ups of lifting whole arms and move those around, position them here and there in space. You see, you're keeping him from agreeing too badly with the messed universe by these mock-ups. That's why the mock-ups are in there. Then you have him pick up his whole arm and throw it up in the air, and then you have him go over his other hand and pick it up finger at a time, and then mock up, picking up finger at a time. Then pick up the actual hand, and then mock up, picking up the arms, and then pick up his left arm. Then pick up his right and left arm up simultaneously and throw them under the air. Then have him pick up, have him mock up picking up ankles or feet, and then have him pick up both feet, or have him pick up a foot, whichever you can get him to do, then mock up picking up bigger legs and all that sort of thing, then have him pick up his actual legs. You finally get him so he's throwing that body around the room like a sofa pillow. You'll worry once in a while. You'll think there's a deception involved here. You think there's a real big deception. He's kidding himself. He's actually working it from inside and so forth. Oh, no, he isn't. You can't work a body that fast from inside. There aren't muscles made that can work bodies as fast as you can from the outside. Now, what you do with all this is practice. And this is the essence of it. Never let him get away with a can't. Always make him lift it. And don't assign such big jumps that he'll have difficulty lifting it. Furthermore, the drill is intended to let him pick up and lay it down suddenly. When he lays hold of the body with a beam, have him then cast it loose suddenly. Up and down with a beam. How fast can he turn that beam off? If he isn't turning it off fast enough, have him get out and throw something, a loop of energy over a cigarette package or something, and then put it on there, turn it off, put it on, 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 turn it off. You get the idea? Until he's really got speed in turning that thing on, turning it off. Particularly on turning it off. Much better turn them off fast than turn them on fast. Because he can be swept into a body or into something or other because he can't shut a beam fast off. All right. So we have him pick up the body piece by piece and turn off the beams and drop it. Pick it up, drop it. Pick up a finger, drop it. Pick up a finger, drop it. Mock up a finger, drop it. Mock up a finger, drop it. Pick up a finger, drop it. All of a sudden you say, well, that's easy. Nothing to that. Well, you go right on through until he's throwing that body around like you'd throw around a volleyball. You think a mess body can move? Piffle. Fooey. You'll never know how fast a mess body can move till you've been outside the thing and snapped it around. And it snaps quick. How fast could you throw your arm up in the air? How fast could you move a finger up in the air? That fast from the inside? Oh, you have to jar your hand all over the place in order to get any real fast action out of a limb. On the outside, you can snag a tractor onto the thing and have that hand up over your head faster than an eye can see it move. Of course, it practically tears the arm off, but who cares? Now, you make him hurt himself doing this. You make him hurt himself every once in a while. If he hurts himself, don't say, well, you poor fellow, you're getting tired now. Oh, yes, well, probably using up a lot of energy. Because he'll keep telling you all the way through this thing, I'm so tired, it's tiring me out. How the hell can anything that runs on postulates get tired out? It's just because he supposes, because fingers get tired, that he gets tired. Simple? So he doesn't get tired out, so don't let him beg off on that. Just keep him at it, little bit at a time, little bit at a time, making him win every time in lifting it, and he'll be able to throw his body around like mad. Now, you'll be surprised how big this makes him feel. He says, bodies? Before that, he thought he was way outside of a body, and he was pretty big anyway, but after this, he's been in through, and he's out, and he looks at his body, bodies? He's liable to reach over and say, how are you, Joe? Spat, splatter. Now, that's concept of size, and that gets a person up to theta clear. He can handle that body around. He's not going to snap into bodies. He'll use bodies, and he'll continue to use bodies, but he won't snap into them. He can turn beams off and turn them on, and he can handle bodies, and he's good and forceful and so on. So as soon as you get him out and even vaguely stable so that he can perceive that he has such a thing as a hand, you start this exercise. When do you start this exercise? When you have him out and he knows it and he is able to perceive a hand. That's a very precise moment that you start this exercise. And you just go right on with that. There's no use you doing much else with him. Because that's what he's been trying to do all this time. Now you do other things with him. But then we're going on up from 40.0 theta clear to 40.0 operating theta. How do you get him up there? Well, I hate to tell you this. And as a matter of fact, I've talked to you too much, and you're probably not too interested in a lot of this data. So I think we just better close over that, and I'll go on with this other... What's the matter? Can't I even pull a scarcity racket on you here? Now, actually, what you do is, what do you think? He's used to handling bodies, isn't he? But you've got theta clear, and you know what his goal is, and there's a technique I finally decided gets you there. I'll tell you what authority that technique rests on, me. I'm not an authority, so you want to be very careful in using it. Do it very precisely, so forth. How do you get up from there? Well, sure, he's not going to duck in and out of heads. He'll cure him of ducking in and out of his head, which is the worst trouble you'll have with a preclear. As far as I'm concerned, after that, the amount of ducking in and out that he will do, he'll consider this as absolutely nonsensical, ducking into this head. What possible protection could it be? Your technique that goes up from there specializes in unmocking and mocking. He goes out and selectively unmocks messed objects, particularly bodies. And it can carry along from there of unmocking and unmocking. And how do you unmock? You create a big space with anchor points with plenty of messed objects in it and find absolutely nothing in it and pass through it in all directions and find nothing in it whatsoever. That's unmocking. And then into that space you put up your own mock-ups. Just as you tear down a tenement before you build a palace, unmock the objects that are there. Now you carry forward this unmocking, and it goes hand in glove with mock-ups of handling bodies by postulates and so on. Just more creative processing, more postulate processing, more creative processing. There's another level of postulate processing above that level, and that level consists of using the dichotomies as rising scales. You find out in here that there's an awful lot of dichotomies listed, and you're probably wondered what these, why we should worry about dichotomies. We're not going to run flows. Well, I put it in there because it's pretty important to have dichotomies listed. And if it's important to have them listed, there should be a reason for them, so I finally figured one out. Now, actually, this is rising scale, and you'll find it on page 35 of your textbook, and it says the dichotomies are, and if you'll merely consider these, the top figure, top of the tone scale, and the bottom figure, bottom of the tone scale. You see, the infinity tone scale would be the whole emotions, all the emotions. Survive, succumb, communicate, not communicate, agree, disagree. Of course, these are not set as dichotomies. Naturally, agree is the bottom of the scale, and disagree is the top of the scale. We started the top of the scale for number three, four. Stop is at the bottom of the scale, and so on. But you can use these dichotomies to make sure that continues. By the way, your chart of attitudes are in this thing, you see? But it's got more of them. You ask, what's your general postulate about propitiation? The difference between propitiation. I mean, what's your general postulate about it? Well, so on, should propitiate so and so. Well, raise that to as high as you want to go, a little bit higher idea, a little bit better idea what you should propitiate or what you shouldn't propitiate or should you or shouldn't you. And the guy will kick it up just a little bit more until he gets up above sympathy. Sympathy is above propitiation. Well, you can use that then as rising scale processing. You probably will never need it. But it goes from minus 8.0. Now that's over here on minus scales. minus scales are minus 8.0 is hiding, minus 4.0 is needing, minus 3.5 is approval from bodies, minus 3.0 is owning bodies, minus 2.2 is protecting bodies, minus 1.5 is controlling bodies, minus 1.3 is responsibility as blame, blaming bodies. Minus 1.0, punishing bodies. Minus 0.2, being other bodies. You see, after a guy is being his own body, then he doesn't quite know what body he is, so he goes around and he bees other people's bodies, too. And he develops their mannerism and characteristics. So, you take that whole range and just find out where the guy is sitting on. Actually, you should know this more than use it, because generally the fellow shipped his own postulates. Now, it's quite interesting that this thing I was talking to you about this afternoon, this conviction comes in there. Being convinced that this stuff agrees, disagrees with him, upsets him, and doesn't upset him. Now, we have a formula which you better put down, because it isn't down any place. On the subject of rehabilitating a thetan, as a thetan. And the formula is take the behavior of space, energy, and objects. You know, I mean the general behavior in the meshed universe of space, energy, and objects. As they interrelate to one another, and run mock-ups on their doing the wrong thing. You run mock-ups on their doing the wrong thing. In other words, you have planets which repel with their gravity. You have space that the more you put in it, the smaller it gets. You have water which dries things. Just look at all the mist manifestations. Light that when it shines out turns everything dark. And when it shines in, lights up everything. Everything haywire about this. And out of this will come postulates on the conviction of the observable behavior. You'll actually, by doing this, all of a sudden locate the postulate the guy made. Well, what do you know? These planets do hold you down. What do you know? Particles do stick together. Now I'm convinced. That's the only way a fellow could ever perceive matter. You see, particles do stick together. I'm convinced now. Yeah, that's right. All right. And you take mock-ups on this. You mock up in brackets. Now, you know what a bracket is. That's what's happening to the pre-clear and what the pre-clear is doing to somebody else, what others are doing to others. You mock up brackets on all the things a person should and shouldn't do, perceive, and be. There's one more in there. Have. All the things a person should have, should do, should perceive, and should be. And mock up brackets on the things a person shouldn't have, shouldn't do, shouldn't perceive, and should not be. You know, this, your mother was always doing this to you. That little girl that lived down the block, now she's a nice girl. Well, if you could just act like her, my hair wouldn't get near as gray. Or that little boy that you couldn't detest. You just think this guy, this horror, he'll give you the horrors every time. He's a nice little gentleman. Why can't you be more like him? Now there, he's a model for behavior. What is behavior? What should it be like? You should be polite. Take a pattern of what behavior should be. A phone should be polite. One should be wrong. One should be propitiative. One should ask for things. One should accept things. One should give things that he doesn't want to give. So on. What are all these behaviors? Well, you look it up and you find out that in everybody's code there's a bad one. Oh, a bad behavior manifestation of some kind or another. Like he has a terrible compulsion to take his hat off in an elevator. Actually a compulsion. He couldn't stand there with his hat on if a lady stepped into the elevator. A lot of naval officers got broken of this during the war because an order was issued that insisted that a naval officer should not remove his hat in an elevator because of the presence of a lady. This is one of the more important orders that came out of Washington. That's why you couldn't get your telegrams through, as they have so many of those orders around the wires all the time. Like I was awakened one, I was dragged out of the Copley Plaza Hotel one day, one night, been out forever, and had to come back to the ship. And my first liberty I'd had for ages, and I had to come back to the ship to... because the officer of the deck had received a secret message. Secret. They didn't have top secret yet, and they didn't even have top secret super frantic hysterical, one of the later classifications. And so the boy met me there. Boy, this looked awful important. Looked like we'd be sailing any second, see? And we find out that it's in such a secret code that it was only in my safe and so on, and he didn't have the keys to the inner side of the safe. He had most of the code, and we broke that thing out, and we set up the board, and we worked. It takes a long time to set up one of those boards and get it all set up, and we got the message all broken down, and what did he know? Instead of orders, instead of the fact that Germans have just landed in Maine, which was about its level of Russian, all that sort of thing, it says no dogs will be landed in Australia. It was too late to go back on liberty. Yeah. Well, anyway, mock up an admiral sending out something like that and then shoot him. Now, wherever you can get in a mock-up, wherever you can substitute messed, meeting messed, with an electronic punch, use the electronic punch. That's more important than you're mocking up little boys beating up little boys. Have little boys sock each other a few times just to show that this can happen, and move them around doing so and so forth, and then have them get off well away from each other and just zap the hell out of each other, because that's what the preclear was trying to do at the time he was being beaten up. He knew there was something else he could do, and he couldn't think of it. All he had to do was back up and go, zap. See, and the other guy'd say, melt. And it's much more efficient. Instead of that, you stand in and get all bruised up. Anyway, get the polite thing to do. Now, there are many things that one does not do, and people very often have nightmares about doing these things, such as rushing down Main Street without any clothes on. In other words, you're looking for these inhibitions, upsets. There are many things he doesn't do. And you just start knocking them out, and you will break loose from a lot of things. But much more important is what he should or shouldn't do with objects. Now, you don't think that I'm being... When I'm talking about behavior, I'm giving you the polite level of behavior, what he shouldn't do and do manners and so on. What I'm stressing here is more important than that when I say shouldn't do, shouldn't have, shouldn't perceive, shouldn't be. He shouldn't have a sun in his pocket. He shouldn't have a planet in a sandwich. You get the idea. He shouldn't pick up the bottom of this chair by simply having his arm lengthen and pick up the bottom of the chair. He should pick it up from the top. Furthermore, he should pick it up to have it move. Next, this chair should sit on mast, not sit 2 inches below mast, very nicely poised there. When a Coke bottle is turned upside down, the Coke should pour out of it. They should not pour out of it when the Coke bottle is sitting right side up. A fellow who puts his hand in a fire and so forth shouldn't get it frozen. Icicles, which you carefully test as being icicles, shouldn't get more heavily frozen from flames. You should not be able to fry a steak in a refrigerator. The second you start to do these things, this guy's carefully assembled and built up postulates. And some people are just holding on to these as though they're the most precious things in the world. They couldn't possibly create an idea that's better than that. And they're just holding on to these things. They're going out through the bottom. They're about to become messed. And they think the only way they can save themselves is by agreeing some more. Because they're just on their way out. And so there the guy is agreeing some more and getting lower and lower on the tone scale, lower and lower on the tone scale. And you ask him to come along and say, hey, why are you agreeing with the fact that so on, you have to feel this way. Well, Lord, agreeing that he has to feel this way is the least part of it. He agrees that when he stands on a platform, he is supported at the height of the platform. Guys can get just sick when they first start to mock this up and realize there isn't anything under them. There really isn't a damn thing under you. You're just sitting in space. But boy, you sure got a nice, comfortable idea about it. Every once in a while, a pilot inadvertently will look sort of theta-wise down through his body and through the seat and through the fuselage of the plane at the ground below him and suddenly realize there's nothing down there. Once in a blue moon, a pilot does that and gives him quite a turn. He doesn't quite know why he got that idea. Or if he's suddenly going to run into something and he wishes to avoid it, he'll just unmock his plane and unmock everything. And, of course, he's sitting for an instant in space. Then that's no good, so he'll put his plane back and hit it. You can find instances when pilots have done just this. So your upper level on the thing is you get him to disagree up to a point where he can operate in the messed universe with complete freedom, and it's much easier than you think, but he has to be able to operate wholly without energy. Let's take a break.